In Matthew 16, verse 24, Bible says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself or herself, and then take up his cross or her cross and follow me. So repeatedly in the Bible, our Lord Jesus Christ uses the word follow. How about we say tonight, following Jesus from Greeley, right? Greeley, following Jesus from Greeley. See, Peter said to our Lord Jesus Christ, he said, hey, Lord, we've left all and then we follow thee. And someone said, when Peter said, we've left all, one of the commentators said that Peter was actually exaggerating. Hey, brethren, whether Peter exaggerates or not, the truth of the matter is, those disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ did left all indeed and follow him. They sacrificed a lot. Some of these folks died, you know, kind of horrible deaths. Some of them were beheaded. Some of them were stoned. We have the record, the record of Apostle Paul, how many times he was being chased all over the places, you know, being looked out for to be killed by his own brethren, his own Jewish brethren. Hey, brethren. Truly, those folks back then in the Bible days did left all or leave all to follow our Lord Jesus Christ. So based upon that question, Jesus said to Peter, not only to Peter this time around, but for the rest of the crowd, he said to him, to them, in verse 29, he said, well, this is it. Verily or truly I say unto you, there is no man that will make these sacrifices, houses, brethren, sisters, fathers, mothers, or wife, children. And he says for two things. Look at that verse 39. He says, for my sake and the gospel's. So when Jesus says, for my sake, what is he talking about? I believe when Jesus says, those that have sacrificed all for my sake. He's saying, hey, do you remember the day I saved you? Did you remember the day I came and then I gave up my life on the cross because I loved you? Because God the Father so much loved you that he gave me up for you, God the Son, to lay down my life on the cross so that you will be redeemed, so that you will be saved from a certain death. And you remember how he rescued you from that sin of yours? I remember how he saved me back in September of 1996, how he transformed my life and gave me hope of eternity. How he made access to God the Father possible for me and for you. And Bible says through him, because of what he did on the cross of Calvary, he took away your condemnation and he took away my condemnation. And Bible says when he died, he was buried and third day he arose. And when he arose, you know what happened to you and to me? We were justified. The enmity between you and God, Jesus, he raised that. Once and for all, Bible says in Hebrews 10:10, he sacrificed himself before God the Father in heaven. And that sacrifice was a perfect one, atonement. Shed his own blood for the remission of your sin, for the remission of my sins. And then he brought unto us eternal life, free of charge. He says, for my sake. Bible says in the book of Isaiah, he was despised, he was rejected, that God the Father even turned his back on God the Son on the cross. And Jesus opened his mouth and say, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. What does that mean? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? God the Son was forsaken by God the Father because he so much loved you, rescued you, and gave you hope of eternity. He says, those that are sacrificed, all those things, or those that will commit themselves tonight and say, Lord, I'm going to sacrifice houses. I'm going to sacrifice business. I'm going to sacrifice my son. And hey, listen very well, okay? When he says sacrifice, he's not talking about you, you know. That's not what he's talking about right here. But how about you saying, yes, Lord Jesus, I came onto the throne, to this feet of the cross for salvation, and you saved me. Now I'm going to sacrifice my time and follow you faithfully in service. That's what he's talking about. Pastor said this in the morning. I'm going to be a fruitful Christian. And very quickly he said, not only for my sake, but for the gospels. For the gospels. Are you going to follow Jesus by spreading the good news of how he saved you by giving your testimony to your friends and family members, to your co-workers, to your neighbors, how he redeemed and transformed your life, how he saved you and how he rescued you and how he turned you around for himself? Are you going to give your testimony? If you cannot give, you know, gospel message, how about giving our testimony? That's also powerful. He said, for the gospels. Apostle Paul in the book of Romans chapter 1 verse 16 talks about the gospel. He says, it's the power of God unto salvation to whosoever who believes. Power of God to transform lives. Power of God to rescue. Power of God to change and to turn around, to make peace with God. Are you ready to be a mouthpiece of God in your family, to tell your friends, to tell your brothers and sisters about him? Are you going to allow God to use your mouth? Are you going to allow God to use your hands? Are you going to allow God to use your feet? Are you going to allow God to use your home? Are you going to allow God to use your job? Are you going to allow God to use your kids, your children, for his glory? For the gospels, so that those that are still in their sin here in Greeley, not even to talk about Nigeria right now, here in Greeley will also come to taste that same message that you had that changed your life, so that their life also will be transformed, so that they will also have hope of eternity, so that they will also have home, mansions in heaven. That's the reason we have missionaries. And that's the reason we have home missionaries as well. Home missionaries. People like you. To put some gospel tract in your pocket and go knock on doors and break down doors. Don't break doors, okay? But go tell people about Jesus. If you can comfortably talk about Donald Trump, if you can comfortably talk about economy that is doing great, praise God for that. If you can talk about family, you know, different stuff, sport. What happened to you that you can comfortably, with joy in your heart, in your face, talk about him? Him who saved you and rescued you, to your friends. For my sake and the gospel. Are you going to follow him right here in Greeley? Are you going to follow him right here from Greeley to wherever he's going to lead you? So one day in 1996, a good friend of mine, now he is with the Lord, John, came and he said he's going to talk to me about Jesus. And I said to John, John, have you forgotten that my dad is a pastor? And that, I don't know what else you want to tell me in the Bible that I have not probably heard. So, and he said, Shay, I'm serious. We really need to talk about these. And I said, forget about it. And he said, okay, I'm going to invite you to my church. And I said, that's fine, but I will need to ask my dad if he will allow me to go with you. And I asked my dad, and thankfully my dad said, oh, son, that's fine. But before then, many times, if my dad get chance to preach like Sunday morning, oftentimes Sunday night and Wednesday night, He will preach a wonderful message. Very thankful for the Lord for his life. And then I will sit right there in the corner, and my dad will, you know, made an altar call and asking for people to come out for, you know, to be saved. And my dad will open his eyes and like. So, and well, back to my friend. So, the church, my friend's church, provide a bus, you know, to convey people. People that may want to come to church, they have this bus ministry, very fantastic ministry, robust ministry, bus ministry in Nigeria. And one thing I would like for you to be praying for us is it's going to be a bus ministry. You pray that the Lord will provide so that we'll be able to do that ministry as we head back to Nigeria. So they provide bus. I jump into the bus, and that Sunday morning I find myself at this church called Victory in the Benin Baptist Church. It was just 3 months old, started by missionary Robert Smith. So that Sunday morning, Robert Smith preached a wonderful message, and then he made another call. And then I sat at the very back. I was expecting him to do, you know, something that my dad would. But Robert Smith never did that. And he's not going to call me to come forward and be saved. But then the Holy Spirit of God signaled to me that day that I need to be saved. And praise God, I came to the altar. Robert Smith prayed for me. And then he asked someone to show me how to be a Christian. So after about 45 to 50 minutes with this man, I trusted Christ or saved. Then this man also explained to me what it means to be an obedient child of God, not just, you know, saved, and that's all. First step of obedience. And then he explained about baptism. And after a few minutes, you know, I said, okay, do you guys have swimming pool? I said, well, yeah, we do have baptistry. Well, that's fine, let's go jumping. So that same day, I was baptized by Pastor Robert Smith. So when I go back home, my dad asked what happened, and I told him I got saved. And my dad was like, praise God. My dad said that day, son, that church will be your church. I'm like, no way. We have our own church. Why would you allow me to be part of, you know, someone else's church? And my dad said, well, number one, they showed you how to be a Christian. And I believe they got all it takes also to disciple you for the Lord. And praise God, because my dad made that decision that day. And here I am today. Praise the Lord. I started reading my Bible, you know, going to church faithfully, regularly, going soul winning. I was trained as a soul winner, knocking doors with my pastor and some church folks. And then I was helping also in children's department, and also have my own bus, you know, bus route. I was a bus captain for years as well. And reading my Bible, some great work of transformation in my life, noticed by my parents, but I'm not too sure if my sisters, those other moms, noticed that. So one day I was reading my Bible as usual, and I found myself in the book of Acts, chapter number 1, and I ended up in verse number 8. Book of Acts, chapter number 1, verse 8. There I got stuck, and I'm like, God, what do you mean by saying, and they shall be witnesses unto me from, you know, both in Jerusalem and Judea? He did talk about Samaria and the rest of the world, but I got stuck with both in Jerusalem and Judea. What does it mean? I prayed, and then the Holy Spirit of God kind of opened my eyes to the need of salvation in my home, in my own house, like my sisters. So every morning, very early in the morning, before the rest of the household would, you know, get up from bed, I would sneak out of my parents' house, and I would go to this uncompleted building not far away from my parents' house. I would kneel and pray to God, mention my sisters by name, you know, one after another, and ask God to save them just like he saved me. And I did that for, you know, weeks, months. On a particular day, as I was about to do the same thing, my mom, my real mom, okay, she caught me and said, "I've been watching you, young man, for days. Where have you been going? Are you now into a secret cult or like in a gang?" I said, "No, mom." She said, "Forget about it. This morning, we'll go together." I said, "Okay." I took my mom to that building. When we got inside, I showed her two spots on the ground. And she said, "So what is it about those two spots?" I said, "Well, I've been kneeling right here and asking God to save my sisters." And she was like, "Wow, okay, we'll pray together this morning." So we prayed together that morning for my sisters. And lo and behold, as the Lord will have his way, you know, my sisters, one after the other, trusted Christ as their Savior. They got saved and got baptized in same church, that same church where I got saved and baptized. Very thankful to God for that. I was to go to college to become a pharmacist. I mean, that's my desire. That was my plan. But God changed my plan. I went to Bible college. After that, I got married. And God gave us children. And we are very thankful to God for that. We've been in, you know, the ministry of planting churches. And the Lord helped us to be able to walk in about three churches. And last one the Lord helped us to start it was the one you saw in the video called Liberty Baptist Church before we came in 2012. But during that time, God gave us the opportunity to come to the U.S. So preparing to come to the U.S., and my wife, she worked in a bank. We, you know, support ourselves through that job of her. So she was transferred to another city. So we all moved to this city called Oyo in the southwest of Nigeria. We only have 3 months to spend before coming to the U.S. So once we were in that city, she would go to work, and then I would go out to soul winning, and with gospel track in my pocket, I would go to open markets and schools and give our gospel message to whosoever will. And through that, the Lord saved many folks. And through that as well, we saw that though a lot of churches in that city, but many people believe in salvation by works. They thought that their good works would open the door of heaven to them, that they could bribe God with their good works. One of those folks that God saved, that trusted Christ, a family asked me one time. They said, "Brother, do you have a church in this city?" And I said, "No, and we are not even planning to start one because we're just going to be here for a few weeks and then we escaped." And she was like, and he was like, "Oh, see, we just want to be part of what God is, you know, doing in your life here, because we've never had gospel message presented this way to us. So we want to be part of that, we want to know more, grow, so that we can also reach our family members. See what the Lord would do, you know, through that in this city." God started working upon our heart, and I called some friends and see if they could send someone to that city to have like a Bible study, not even starting a church, but just, you know, like a fellowship once every month. But no one would, you know, commit themselves, you know, to doing that. And why? Because that land, it's like 75% to 80%, you know, Muslim. Muslims everywhere. If you check on Google, you see mosques like everywhere in that city. So we pray about this. God started working upon our heart, gave us burden, just like he did for Nehemiah when those folks came from Jerusalem to visit on him at Shushan the palace. And Nehemiah asked, after, you know, having some merriment, and he said, "Hey, tell me about those folks back in Jerusalem. Tell me about the Jews that were left back of captivity. And then tell me about the city itself." And Bible says, Nehemiah, he got the information that the people that were left back of captivity were in great, great, great reproach, great affliction. And the city itself, Bible says, the gate there has been burnt down. And after that, the Bible says Nehemiah sat down and he wept for certain days. He cried, he mourned, and he fasted for days before the God of heaven. a burden God started working upon our heart as well. You know, for folks, you know, that trusted Christ in that land, those market women that placed their faith in Christ Jesus, that family that was asking, do you have a church in this city? And those children running up and down on the street that also need Jesus. Those college students that gave me the opportunity to come and present the gospel message in their colleges, and few of them that trusted Christ were also asking, hey, where is your church in this land? And I said, no, we do not have a place of worship, and we are not even planning to start one. And may I say to you tonight, this is a secret, okay? We never planned to go back to Nigeria when we were coming. That wasn't the plan. To go back wasn't our plan. Our plan is to come here, get some good education, and probably go somewhere else in the state and have a church or work with any local church that may want to, you know, hire us and work with them. But the situation back in that city, God used it to change her plans, to head back home and to go back to that city where we have majority Muslims, where many people believe in salvation by works, where majority do not understand what Christ did for them on the cross of Calvary, and where souls are also asking, do you have a church in this land? We want to be part of that work. Last year, I went home for 2 weeks. I was looking for a land to buy for a church and also a place to buy to build our own house. For 2 weeks, as we were looking for church, for property for the church, I was also doing soul winning. That has been the manner of our life. And then during that soul winning time, 12 people got saved. And out of those 12, we have Muslims. And one of those Muslim guys asked me, he said, do you have a place where you meet here like a church? We want to come and be part. So that we can tell our friends and families about Jesus as well. We've heard about him, but now we understand. We want to take this story and also spread this story in our families, in our communities. A burden that confirmed to us that God actually prepared that land for himself. And he said he needed a laborer. And here we are today. We are the laborer. We are ready to go. And that's why we are here tonight as well, telling you about the burden that God has given us for those folks. I'm talking about a million or a little bit over a million people in that land. Would you pray for us as we are planning to go to do church planting in that land? Would you pray as we are planning to go to do bus ministry? Would you pray and ask the Lord to bless his work in our hearts, in our lives, as we are planning to go back to do some rural Bible studies? As we are planning to do college ministries as well, having Bible Institute to train men and women that may, you know, commit themselves into full-time ministry or even part-time. The Lord has done that in the past in our ministry. You see in that slides, these three young men, that's two, you know, those in suit. Those guys got saved. Two of them were him and wife's Sunday school class. We met them in soul winning. They trusted Christ. Families started coming to church regularly. And they sense God's call in their lives. Two of those young men already graduated. One will be graduating in December. And not only those, we have other three young men that already graduated as well and working full-time in the ministry. Actually, one of them was the one that took charge of the church we started in 2007. We want to go back by his grace, by his strength, and continue to do the same thing. Would you please pray for us? The land is not safe. You probably might have, you know, read about Nigeria, hear stories coming out from Nigeria. Islamic, you know, persecution is there. Terrorists, Boko Haram issue, everything is there. No security. We don't have access to 24 hours of power, you know, electricity like we do here. We have bad roads, right, Frank? Bad roads everywhere. and poverty in the land. We do not have good medical facilities, and you saw in the slide my first, you know, daughter passed, not because of, you know, terrible disease, but because we couldn't find, you know, but we are very thankful to the Lord. Brethren, this is the land that we are going back to. God has done so much for us. I don't see us making any sacrifice for, you know, going back, because he has done so much for you and I. We are just giving ourselves hope to him and says, do whatever you want to do, Lord, with our lives. We want to go back and be a blessing, be a light in that land. Would you please pray for us? Will you consider to be our sending church, even though Northwest Valley is our home church? Would you jump on a, you know, bus and said, we will partner with you guys? We started a deputation last June, and currently we are about 70%. You see, that's God, less than 12 months. Please pray for us and ask the Lord to send us very quickly back to Nigeria. Thank you so much. If you have any question, we'll be right there, you know, at the end of the program tonight. Please ask. We'll try our best to. Number 10, Book of Mark, chapter number 10. In Book of Mark, chapter number 10, we have the record, however, our Lord Jesus Christ teaching or talking about marriage and divorce. And also we have the record of how he rebuked his disciples because they were, you know, stopping little one from coming to him. And of course, this beautiful story of the rich young ruler that was so wealthy, he was so rich, and he came to our Lord Jesus Christ, and he said to Jesus, he said, I've kept all the laws. Is there any other thing you think is left for me to do so that I can inherit, you know, the kingdom of God? And Jesus, Bible says, so much loved him. And Bible says he loved him, and he said to him, if you will go and dispose all your possessions and come back, pick up your cross and follow me, that would be great. But Bible says this young ruler, due to the sin of our Lord Jesus Christ, he went away, you know, with sadness in his life, because he had a lot of, you know, riches. And based upon that, our Lord Jesus Christ moved forward, and he gave some explanation about the difficulty of riches. Hey, brethren, there's nothing wrong in being a wealthy person. There's nothing wrong in being a billionaire as a children of God. There's nothing wrong in being a millionaire as a child of God. I mean, that would be my prayer, that God will bless me, you know, bless me a lot so that I can do great things, you know, for him. So there's nothing wrong in, you know, possessing many stuff, you know. But the problem will be, the problem will arise when you let those possessions of yours possess your life. When those things possess your life, and then you set your priority on those things, and God is like number two or number three, it is then that, you know, we will have problems, okay? But for you to be wealthy, like, you know, Bill Gates or whatsoever, there's nothing wrong in that. You know, if we have someone like that here tonight, I bet you tomorrow morning we'll head back to Nigeria, right? Based upon that, Peter, one of the outspoken of our Lord Jesus Christ, disciples or followers, if you will, opened his mouth in verse 28, and he said to our Lord Jesus Christ, Bible says, then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all, and have followed thee. Peter was asking questions. And then in verse 29, Bible says, and Jesus answered and said, verily, truly, I say unto you, there is no man that left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive an 100-fold in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution. Yes, with persecution. And in the world to come, eternal life. I will read verse 31 as well. And Bible says, but many that are first shall be last, and the last first. You see, many times in the Bible, you will see our Lord Jesus Christ using the word follow. It's a very common word in the vocabulary of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew, Luke, Mark, and Luke, and of course the book of John, we see our Lord Jesus Christ when he was calling out to his disciples. He says to each and every one of them, he says, "You follow me, you follow me." Let's look at a few examples from the Bible. In book of John chapter 1 verse 43, Jesus said to Philip, he said, "Follow me." And also in book of Luke chapter 5 verse 27, Jesus says to Levi, he said, "Follow me." Likewise to Peter and Andrew, those guys were in the boat with their dad. They were in their fishing business, you know, looking forward to keep on with their business. And Bible says, Jesus said to Peter and Andrew, he said, "Follow me and I will make you guys fishers of men." Matthew chapter 4 verse 19. And also in Matthew 9:9, Bible says, Jesus said to Matthew, he says, "Follow me."